awesome to be back again. Reverend Glenn, would you, I'm actually hesitant to ask you to come back up here. I don't want that to happen again. But would you tell everybody what your ministry is?
My ministry is called Heartfelt Farewells. I do memorials and life celebrations for people, and I love doing it, and I also play and sing at most of them whenever we have a family whose loved one has passed away, their favorite song may be, I played In My Life by the Beatles the other day at a service at the National Cemetery north of town. So I love doing that. I'm also started doing hospice work also. So as a minister, I'm there at that time for families. And I really love doing that. I always think, I've only done one wedding in my ministerial career. I love doing memorials. I just love being there for the family. I feel there's so much importance to that. So it's called Heartfelt Farewells. That's what I do.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Glenn. Thank you. It's a great... It is a great gift to the world, and I'm especially moved because one time our minister up in the Prescott area had somebody down here in hospice, and she called and said, would one of you guys go pray with him? And he was right at the edge. And so I went and I prayed with him, but he survived another day, and Reverend Glenn, I'm told, showed up the next day and took his guitar and sang and played with him, and then he made his transition. You know, what a gorgeous ministry. Thank you so much. And I wanted to share that because it's going to fit in with my message in a little bit. But wow, I'm so happy to be back. I am so happy to be back. You have never looked more gorgeous to me. And I have a confession to make. I spied on you while I was away. I watched the live Facebook while I was up on the central coast of California. I watched the live stream. Thank you very much, Julie, for doing that. And I got to hear Reverend Clyde's message, which, bravo, really well done. I didn't hear any of the other ones. I only heard Reverend Clyde. But you know what happened while I was watching you guys or you know, watching the service? I was really struck in this really kind of profound, unusual, unexpected way with how well you get along without me. I mean that as a compliment. I mean, I don't know what it is about carrying the load of being the senior minister all the time. It's like, not that I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried that it wouldn't go well, but it was something about the way it appeared to me from a distance that you all know what your role is. And I don't mean the volunteers. I mean, like, you don't come for me. You come for this community. You know, you come for this Sunday morning experience. And I was just so touched by that. I was very teary. And I've been, I went away to, October, November, December, by the time the minister hits the end of the holiday season, we are ready for a rest. And so it's not unusual to see that a lot of senior ministers take their vacation in January. So anyhow, thank you so much for being so beautiful, for making me love you even more, and for you sort of nudging me to make a greater, deeper, a fresher commitment to the work I do here with you. Gorgeous stuff. So the title of my message this morning is What Looms Ahead. So you might say that, you know, this is my kickoff message for the year 2020. And I had this great idea for a message that would speak to this idea of what looms ahead in a way in which I can share my conviction for you and sort of cast my vision as to what I see in terms of our solid foundation, in a way that each and every one of you can take something home today from this message if you are so willing. So the theme for Centers for Spiritual Living Worldwide, the 2020 theme is appropriately spiritual vision, spiritual, I don't know, what is it, 2020 spiritual vision. And the theme that I have selected to carry us through this year, as Reverend Clyde already said, is what I see today. What I see today. Because I think I have this idea that if we woke up every day fresh, rested, ready to face a new day. And we did that with an open mind and thought about what it was we expected to see and experience in that day, applying these. I mean, this is a principle that we are based upon. If we did that, we would see things in a much broader and in a greater expanded way, and we would see the presence of God more readily. And so what I see today is not only something I want us to think about on a regular basis, and I want us to have this focus all year long. I wanted to give Reverend Clyde a place to start every service where he could tell us what he sees today, right? Because he's so good at that. He pays attention. Do you notice that he's very good at observing what's going on in his own life and being able to repeat that back to us and put it into a spiritual framework? And that's the model that I'm desiring for us to adopt in our own lives. Talk about being centered again and realigned to spirit. And then when something in your personal little world, your little universe, the way you see the world and life and your loved ones and the ones you don't love so much, when something disturbs you in your little universe, you will be quick to remember that you can ask again, what is it that I see today and what do I want to see today? Right? So it's a fallback. For those of you who know me well, it's a fallback on that line I love that says, how can I see this in a different way? How can I stand here and look out at this situation that feels disruptive in my life and experience it from a different perception and see what else is going on? What's here for me to learn, or where am I ready to grow? And that's why I put that big fat I on the front of the program. I'm getting mixed reviews, which I anticipated, so I'm a little proud of myself. I put a lot of intention, a lot of prayerful consideration in how I wanted the program to look this year. And I wanted it to be completely different so we don't take it for granted. Nothing better than a big old eye looming on the page, on the front page of that program. Somebody bring me one, please. And what I will tell you is that there's another way of seeing this big eye on the face of this program. There's a quote under the eye. Notice it's one eye and not two eyes. See, there's a lot to think about here, and I won't be telling you all the things I want to say about it because I plan to talk about it all year, so I don't want to give away too much today. But look at this quote at the right below the eye. It says, "Let us learn to see as God must, with perfect vision." Miss Sue, would you take this back to him in case he should be needing it for knowing what he's got to do next? Let us see as God must. Let us begin to practice that vision, and let us use that eye on the face of that program to be that symbol to remind us to turn within and to trust the inner wisdom and to build upon all the things that are the foundation of whatever has brought you to this point in your very own life already. So we are looking at this idea of what looms ahead. So what is a loom? Think about what a loom is. A loom is a tool that we use for weaving. And when we use it well, we can create beautiful fabrics and designs. And it's interesting to look at the root of the dictionary definition of the word loom, because it has an indistinctness about it. So when things loom, it's like when you are first starting to focus on something that's just coming into vision. Isn't that how life is? Something happens and you go, what just happened? So you're starting to focus, and for a little while, it looks big and in your face, just like that eye on the front of the program. It looks big, it looks enlarged, and this is where we put some trepidation or some fear around this idea of that which looms, because it's hovering. It's just right there. And you know, we're living in our life, and even if you just were dealing with the affairs of your own life, not let alone what's going on in the world, you would have plenty to look at, right? And to consider, and to wonder again, what is this looming in front of me, and what is it that I'm to do with it? See, I always think that way we feel that sort of disturbance, that inner disturbance, is that which calls us to recognize that's our place of growth. So the question, when I'm feeling disturbed, is the question I can then ask myself is, why? What's going on here? What's making you uncomfortable right now? What are you perceiving as with a little fear or trepidation? What is it that's just hovering right in front of you, trying to become more clear? The way they use the word loom in a sentence is, the mountains loom above the valley. The storm loomed above us. And so there's something about the idea of something that appears before you that is not quite clear yet, but it's sitting there. And you know there's something a little more coming. But here's an interesting thing that surprised me a little bit. Some of the synonyms for the word loom include these words: to soar, to rise, to hover was another one, to gather, which is interesting because now we can see the weaving, the gathering, pulling it together and weaving it. And then they throw in my favorite word, which I have used a lot last year, but you can intend to hear it a lot this year, and that is to emerge. Haven't we been talking about that? What's trying to emerge here? I like to ask myself that question a lot. What's trying to emerge through me? What am I to do today? There's a beautiful line from the Course in Miracles. Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say, and to whom? And that is a beautiful way to start the day. And so we're just taking a little shorter variation of that. What do I see today? And that's the little shortened version that we're going to carry with us as we move through this year. What's interesting to me is the idea that looming has a little bit of negativity or fear attached to it is that when you look at the definition of the way religious scholars would define religious awe, that's A-W-E, being in awe, right? The way that religious awe or reverence, a deep reverence, the way Bible and religious scholars define that is goes back to a Latin root, and there are two terms. And they are the same, they're talking about the same thing. So in the way that we look at wholeness, there can be polarities or seeming opposites that are part of the same thing, and that's what this is about. This religious reverence, the scholars say, have two sides to it. One is in Latin, tremendum. The other is augustum. And tremendum is where we get the fear. Augustum is sort of delight and joy. So in other words, when the scary parts of the Bible that nobody really likes, and that you got to fear God because, well, that comes from that same idea of awe or reverence, but it is defined as an overpowering majesty with urgency. The mountain is right in front of you. Do you know your way around it or over it? Can you fly above it? There's an urgency in the majesty. And so you can see that's where religious people get that reverence or that fear of God, they often call it. But the other side of the very same term produces that augustum, and the augustum, which is delight, is those are the religious moments or the holy encounters in which you recognize for an instant your worth, your value. So we talk about having a union with God or with Spirit or a sense of oneness or complete connection or harmony with life. And all of that is the way we are recognizing our worth and our value. And these are the same things. These are all the definitions, the same word of reverence and awe. So I think when we're looking at what looms ahead, that, and I'm going to say this right now with a very strong conviction because I'm wearing these pants. Because I can pull it off when I'm wearing these. It's only the second time I've ever worn them. Because I know I get a little excited when I wear these special magic pants. What was it that Clyde said we have? What was it, Clyde? Not, I have magic pants and you have, I'll think about it later. It was cute. I liked it. A secret, yeah, some kind of secret. Say it again? Secret sauce. He said secret sauce and I thought magic pants, secret sauce, magic pants, they go together well, don't they? All right, so what I know is I'm looking at this idea of what's looming ahead, and I say this to you with my full conviction and with all of my authority in any way that I might pull some up here, that something large is absolutely looming ahead of us. It is the looming of immense possibility, and we have only seen the tiniest edge of it because it is trying to emerge on this planet. It feels as though there is a great disturbance in so many ways. We can look at what's not working in the world, environmentally, economically, politically, we could, in our own families, in our relationships, and then we could see in the way our relationships have been disrupted by our political views, and so on and so forth. And what I want to say is something is looming because it is trying to emerge, and it can only emerge or be here through us. As we continue to stand in truth, to stand in love, and to open ourselves to be that divine expression, right? Let go and let come. Quit trying to do it our way. And instead be open to be that vessel of truth so that there's greater light on this planet. So yes, some days look scary. We don't even know why necessarily. And yet other days still look glorious. And this is good news. Let us see as God sees with that perfect vision. So I've been on a journey. On December 31st, oh, I was so tired. And I was just about to leave on vacation. And on December 31st, Reverend Clyde took me to dinner. We had an early dinner. I hope it's a new tradition. I actually thought it was really fun doing it on the 31st. I'm just going to say that because they gave us hats and you know, it's like middle of the day, but they were like already celebrating New Year's Eve. And oh my goodness, it was so fun. And I'm just not a good gift giver. I have great intentions, but then I make a chore out of it and I overthink it and I do foolish things. And so Reverend Clyde loves to receive gifts and I never give them. So we've found the perfect combination. He takes me to dinner on New Year's Eve. He pays, and my gift to him is that I go and I let him treat me. Not good? It works. It works. It absolutely works. And so we were sitting there having dinner, and it was so enjoyable. It's such a fun tradition that we kind of accidentally started. And I heard myself say to you, Reverend Clyde, I'm going away. I'm tired. Oh, I'm so tired. And I'm going away, and I'm going to reinvent myself. I didn't plan on telling you all of this. I wrote a completely different talk, and then I had an experience yesterday right here in this sanctuary, and it became clear to me that there are a few things you should hear me say. And so every so often, I have seen ministers stay in pulpits too long to where they're not effective anymore. And so my plan was to go away and to sit on the beach. Oh my goodness, did I sit on the beach? It was so fun. And I intended and I called on the power of the Holy Spirit to renew my call to ministry. And I said to myself, and I spoke to God, and I said that whatever it is that I am to do next, I will do next. And it became very clear to me very quickly that I know what I'm supposed to do, and I am supposed to be here. And that indeed I am supposed to be refreshed. And I know, right? Me too. I figured it out. I know what I'm supposed to do. It's so cool. Don't you hate it when you're not sure? So, and it's not that I ever doubted. It's not that I doubted. I'm fully committed. It's one of the things I do well. I've been married almost 50 years. Imagine. Hey, I didn't see him come in. Boy, is he going to get what ho. Somehow I've stayed married 50 years even with that attitude. And so I'm fiercely dedicated and loyal and committed, and I stick around. And so what I have learned I have to do in my life is be very open with the divine and open with myself to look for the divine guidance, and boy, did I get it. When you call on the power of the Holy Spirit to anoint you again to your call, you will get it. And so, yes, yes, yes. So so much of that happened while I was at I took all these bags of work. You know, have you ever seen me how I carry around all those bags? I had four bags ready to take to the beach with me, and not counting luggage or food or, you know, just four work bags. And the day before we left, I went, sister, two of those got to stay home, because I knew I had to carry them up the stairs once we got there. So I put two of them back in the house, and I took two bags, and there was a paperwork. I'm not talking about my book bag that had 32 books in it. Some of it was fiction, though, and that's all I read was fiction. It was great. It was so great. And I never, ever looked at the work, because I had an intimate time just watching those waves, the power of life washing over me, cleansing me, re-anointing me. I hadn't figured it out yet, but oh, it felt good. I slept well, I cooked, I found somebody to go shopping for me, so I never had to leave except to go down to the beach and pick up pretty shiny rocks. It was heaven. It was heaven. I had a good time. And I thought I was figuring it all out, and it's hard to imagine. It was just a week ago that it feels like it's been a month that I've been home. But then something really extraordinary happened that Reverend Glenn and Reverend is Reverend Cheryl not here? There has not been an amen from the back yet. Reverend Cheryl's not. Thank you. So Reverend Glenn was there, and Reverend Cheryl was there, and I was there. And what we were there at was the installation ceremony for Reverend Sherry McCrary at CLF, Creative Living Fellowship. Now, CLF is a Science of Mind church. They are religious science, but they're an independent church. They're not a part of CSL. And so they recently had an upset when one of their ministers made his transition, and his wife determined that she couldn't do ministry alone, and she retired, deservedly so. They had done that for 22 years. But she was the only minister they ever had. And so now Reverend Sherry McCrary comes in believing she's going to be the interim minister because she didn't want a pulpit. And God gave her a different message that she was to stay there. And so she's been there about a year. And when it's official, when we're sure that the marriage between the minister and the community is workable, you have the installation. And that's what we were there for. So here's the cool thing about the installation. We all wear our robes, which we're not very formal. We don't get to do that very often. So it's a great treat. Isn't it fun to put our robe on? And to hang out and shoulder to shoulder with other ministers. Well, Reverend Sherry has been kind of all over the country and done some. She used to be a lawyer. I didn't realize that. And but she started her religious science training at Agape. That's Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith and his former wife, Ricky Byers, and Ricky Byers came to do the music for her installation. Now, how cool is that? Now, if you don't know who Ricky Byers is, hey, you want to sing? Should we sing? No, I got this. I can do this. So Ricky Byers is, I release and I let go. You know, you just can't sit still. That's Ricky Byers. But better than that, and somebody did this song here not that long ago because I came out of my seat and stood over there and just got washed and filled up with the Holy Spirit. My favorite all-time New Thought song is Use Me. Use Me. And so here we are. All of the ministers, we have put our robes on. They gathered us for photos. We stood in this giant circle and we prayed and we loved each other because we don't all get together that often like that. And we stood there. He's figuring out if he can play it right now. And we stood there, and then they put us in line, and it's very formal processional, very formal processional. And so we're all in line, and then we walk down. It's amazing they could hurt us like that. But there we were. We walked down, and as we approach the back of the church, it's a large foyer, and we all start moving in quietly into the foyer. We can hear Ricky Byers is singing Use Me. And every minister there, am I right or am I right, broke into song and we sang, Use me, O God, I stand for thee. Use me, O God, a room full of ministers in robes for a sacred event. It was one of the highlights of my life. It was so cool. And Reverend Cheryl and I were together because they grouped us as churches or spiritual centers. And I turned around and I said to Reverend Cheryl, I said, you know, that's my favorite song. And I just realized I've never heard Ricky Byers do it. So then they finish and everybody's, oh my God, your heart's open, your soul's just like, ah, so happy. And we get ready, and then she's still playing on the piano the same music. And then they start calling our names off, and we walk up down the aisle to the place where we're going to sit. And we had a tremendously wonderful ceremony. And and I realized, just like, I didn't ask for a sign. I already felt like I was anointed, but, you know, God gave me a great gift. Gave me Ricky Byers in person and a place to stand in the middle of a bunch of ministers and say, use me, oh Lord. Oh God, use me. It was so cool. It was so amazing. But that wasn't where it ended. So it was a late night. And our practitioner, Cheryl Copper, and my assistant, did something absolutely amazing, and this is why I wanted you to talk about your ministry, Reverend Glenn. The altar that you now see on this side, my left, your right, was for a ceremony that Cheryl Copper received this vision that she was to do this, and I got so excited because I've had a vision that we should do this at this center. And what we did was we created she did it all on her own, but we created a service to honor all of our loved ones who have passed with the intent of recognizing those people we love in our life who we have not had a chance to honor. You know, that there was no service or we were too far away to attend the memorial service. And so I pulled pictures of the people I wanted to acknowledge. And so on the altar, you will find there's a picture of John Brooks, who was a practitioner at this church when I first came. And he made his transition that first year. Boy, talk about tough duty for a new minister to hold the hand of a really seasoned practitioner while he's moving. And next to him is Judy Thompson, who made her transition. And then there were the people that we didn't get to acknowledge, like Mary Knoll and Margaret Dirksen and even Vicki Miller and Colleen Wagner. Are there others? Mark, anybody?
I don't know, I'm trying.
And so it was beautiful. You get my point, right? And so there was, the altar was here, and there was another table here to light candles. So you could come up, and the room was dark, and the music was playing, and it's Saturday, and I couldn't get here early. I was here maybe 40 minutes late. And when I walked in the room, Michael Gott was the music that Cheryl had chosen. It just happened to be on when I arrived, from his album, Surrender. No, I'm sorry, Amazing Grace, or You Will Do Amazing Things. The title of the album is Amazing. You Will Do Amazing Things. And I didn't notice at first that it was Michael Gott. And I came up, and Cheryl greeted me, and it was quiet. There were only a few people here. And she said, would you like to light some candles for your loved ones? And I said, absolutely. And so I came over, and I grabbed a couple candles, and I just kind of talked out loud and blessed all the people I loved in my life, and I grabbed more candles, and I was lighting candles, and then something overcame me. Something was looming and ready to emerge, to be born, to be expressed through me. And I realized that the words to the song, I recognized Michael Gott. Now, I have a relationship with, he's a musician in our movement. Actually, he is the senior minister now for the biggest Unity Church in Houston, Texas. But when he came through ministerial school, I had been licensed longer, and I had volunteered to mentor, and they assigned me to mentor Michael Gott, who's the most famous person in our movement, at least at that time. So I had this relationship with Michael that was very intimate, and I was standing here, and I recognized the song that was playing, and it was a song that Michael had dedicated to me so long ago, all those years ago. And he sang it at a Sylamar, like 600 people sitting in this room. And he recognized me and dedicated that song to me that day. That's what you didn't know. And I have only fallen to my knees twice in my life when I have been overcome like that. And yesterday was the second time. So if you were here and I scared you, I'm sorry. But what you witnessed was one of two of my greatest experiences in my entire life. And I realized the words of the song were saying to me, you gotta shine. You have to let your light shine. Do you even know who you are and what you are here to do? And in that moment, I made a full recommitment to you, my community, to the work that we do together. Jonathan Swift, 17th century author. He's the guy that wrote Gulliver's Travels. He said, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. I wanted to end this morning with something that I think is fitting and powerful. And I think perhaps the most misunderstood passage in the Bible. And it's that quote where Jesus says, believe. Believe, have faith, for if you believe, you could move mountains. I'm telling you. The last couple of weeks have been really interesting as I've had this sort of rapid recognition and realignment and reinvigoration. I'm refreshed. I'm more than reinvented. I thought it was just something new, but I'm going to have to change that Facebook picture. That's all I can tell you. But what I realize is that kind of faith, we have such power that we don't use, that we don't utilize, that we don't seem to have confidence in. And this entire teaching is based on our ability to plug it and to use it. And so I want you to hear this scripture. It's found in the book of Mark in the 11th chapter. But before I go there, and by the way, you know I'm going to read you Eugene Peterson's version of that scripture. So it's not the classical version that you're more familiar with. Because Eugene Peterson, a wonderful minister who has taken the moxie to paraphrase scripture in a way that will touch our souls today, has written it beautifully. And what else he does that's really powerfully good is that in the Bibles that have been printed, before every book of the Bible, he gives you a little synopsis of where and when and how or who or something. And what he says about the book of Mark is that the book of Mark was really all about good news. Beginning, middle, end. Baptism, birth, birth, baptism, death, resurrection, the whole thing is told in one story. And it was indeed good news. And by the way, this was probably the book that was written first. They guess this was written around 70 CE. And 70 CE, it maybe doesn't matter to most of you, but if you've studied Bible and you love it like I have in my past, we aren't sure if they had already taken over the temple or they knew that the temple was about to be overtaken. And that's why there's fear in some of the gospel scriptures, because there was a lot going on in connection to why those words were written at that time. But what I can tell you is that Mark was there to say, keep your eye on the good news. You know, that there's more going on here, that God is passionately for us. Can you feel that? God is passionately for us. I say that all the time. If we could lift up our heads and walk in the glory of the truth of who we are, we would recognize that there is nothing, there is no one that could possibly be against us, because we are that which is an individualized expression of the divine. So let me take you to the passage. Right after the fig tree thing. I know you love that part, Sue. Peter asked, why did that happen? And Jesus, I don't know if he was perturbed or just ignoring or just talking, or he inspired him to come to with these words. But here's what Jesus said. In a very matter-of-fact way, embrace this God life. Listen carefully. Really embrace it. And if you do, nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shilly-shallying around about it. If you tell that mountain to jump in the lake, it is as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you will get God's everything. Take a breath. Just breathe. What things you desire, believe, and you will receive. Right? I asked God, anoint me, and you know what happened? I felt the earth move under my feet, scared the crap out of me. But I asked, I opened myself, and so something loomed. I called forward something greater now that can express through me as I say to God, use me, I stand for thee. It scares us, I think, because it's just so hard to imagine that we're that powerful. And so I want to close with a quote from Ernest Holmes that's going to be one of my theme quotes for this year, and he said this. This comes from A New Design for Living. I love this quote. There will never be more of God. There will never be more abundance and health or happiness than is available to you right now, today. And the only time we can experience what we may desire is today. We cannot do it yesterday, and tomorrow has not arrived. We must encompass right now in our very own thought all the good we can ever hope to experience. What looms ahead is life. What hovers over us is God. And what is emerging is possibility. I stand for God. Will you stand with me? All right. Amen. All right. In that case, you know what we need to do here. We're going to anchor it, and we're going to anchor these powerful words, this beautiful conviction. We're going to anchor it all in the words of prayer. So if you are a practitioner or a minister, please stand and surround the room. God, I love these pants. Good to know what you love. It's good to know what works in your life, what brings you joy. It's good to know that we do not have to fear God, but that we are invited to stand in that place of pure delight and to recognize our worth and our value and to remember that we are indeed made in the image and likeness of God. So just feel that. Feel the love of God in this sanctuary. Feel the remnants of that anointing from yesterday. Allow it to soften you and to open your heart and your mind in such a way that as we speak these powerful words of prayer, that we activate the movement of the divine law. That there is that which is absolute, that creator of all of life that plants every good seed, everything that begins in the mind of God, planted in the soil of possibility and coming into expression right where we are. I feel the love of God right in this room. And I recognize it as that movement, that interactivity is the way we are being divinely realigned so that we might harmonize with that glorious flow of life. I recognize that right where we are is the fullness of that healing force of the divine, because life desires an expression of wholeness, of perfection, of beauty, of joy, of union and connection. And so as we speak these words and we recognize that there's a resonance, that there's a quickening within our physical being that allows our physical body to express and return to that state of wholeness, that we activate the law of circulation so that our blood flows through our body and our lungs work and move in and out and constrict and then expand again and again. For this is the movement of life. It is that which assimilates and then eliminates whatever we don't need. And so not only are we healed in our physical being, because the divine insists on it, but that our relationships are healed as well. And so right now we are brazen. We are spiritual warriors in our willingness to invite forgiveness, to invite an expansion of our own ability to love, to recognize that everyone we care about is surrounded by this same infinite healing presence of God. We don't have to know it, we don't have to name it, and we do not have to worry about it. There is this just immensity looming over every person we love, over this planet, over every government, every world ruler. There is this immense possibility for this divine expression to emerge, and we, for our part, take a stand for good. And so we are healed, we are whole, obstacles are removed, and we are free to move about our own life freely. For the truth has set us free. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, infinite spirit. How grateful we are for all of this wisdom, for the revelations, the revealing, and the relevance of this teaching. I say thank you, God. And I simply release the words of this prayer into the law, knowing that all this and more is already done. We release, we let go, we let come, and together we say, and so it is. Amen.